There's an organization that I found out about in Minnesota when I lived there, and it's called Feed My Starving Children. You may know about it because it's not unique to there, but I discovered it there, and I was so glad to see that they had offices and operations in the Chicago area. Feed My Starving Children. The development advisor is a woman named Sarah Presley, and she joins us in studio now. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm very well, John. How are you? Thank you for having me.
What a descriptive, almost alarming name, Feed My Starving Children. My goodness, what do you all do?
Our whole mission is to feed starving children hungry in their bodies, but also hungry in their spirits. We believe that all children around the world are God's children, and we partner with different organizations around the world. Right now, I think we're in over 50 different countries. We work with those partners and give them the food that we pack here in the United States.
Is it a religious organization?
We are a Christian organization, and we invite anybody and everybody of all faiths to come and pack food with us, and we'll feed any child.
I didn't get that it was denominational in any way. In fact, when I was there, I remember that we all prayed beforehand, or was it afterwards? Maybe both, but I didn't. It sure wasn't an overly religious experience when I went to PAC.
The main thing that I think of is that we do everything we do based on how we discern God wants us to do. And it says very clearly in the Christian tradition that we are supposed to help the widows and the orphans. It says very clearly in the Christian tradition that we are supposed to feed whoever is hungry. We're supposed to give water to whoever is thirsty. And we do that with a great deal of prayer and time together. But if you are not a prayer and if you are not religious, we want you to come and help anyway.
So does any consideration go to who participates or where the food goes based on religion?
That's a good question. We do not have any decision making about who comes to pack the food. We want everybody to come and volunteer with us. The way that we get partners is that different organizations around the world ask to become partners with us. We do have primarily Christian missions, but we also have organizations that have a Muslim tradition. We have organizations that are not particularly religious at all, and we are happy to partner with them and to work with them. And we have been praying every day since, I want to say, about 6 months ago. We pray every day for one of our partners, and we go through that entire list. It takes, you know, probably a year or so to get through every single group, but we pray once a day.
People, organizations, companies donate food? Is that what you do?
This is a good question and a common misconception. So we are not a food bank. We're not like the Greater Illinois Food Bank, who we love and adore. We are not like any of those places where they store food. We actually pack a 4-ingredient dry package where folks come in and have scoops and cups, and they put in the 4 ingredients. You may remember them, John.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Can we say them together?
Well, but I was wondering, where did we get the grain? Where did we get the rice?
Yes. We purchase all of that.
You do?
We purchase it on the market. We do not get any particular special discount, if you will. We go right to where the rice and the soy are being sold, and we buy it here.
So when I went to a pack, I won't get all the 4 ingredients to put in, but we was like assembly line, mm-hmm. and the boxes would come with the bags, and you'd scoop in. You were the person of this, you were the person of that. You seal the box, you close the bag. It was this very organized thing, very efficiently taking volunteers who didn't know anything about it 10 minutes ago, and now they're working a crew. And it's, frankly, it was kind of fun. There was a real camaraderie there and a real sense of mission, right? And a sense of reality. That is, you're not sending ding-dongs. Mm-hmm. Or even beef sandwiches.
Right.
You're sending grains to survive. What goes in these packs?
So the first ingredient that goes in is really the thing that has the most impact, and that is our vitamin package, vitamin powder. And the vitamins that are in that powder have been selected by food scientists and nutritionists. So it's not just any old random food. We have a nutritionist, a dietitian that we work with actually right here in Chicago, and they helped to put together this formula and selected vitamins and minerals, micronutrients, that are specifically selected to help kids under 5 that are suffering from malnutrition. But of course, it'll work for anybody. You know, you can take Flintstone vitamins and still get nutrition out of them.
So we have the nutrition pack. What else?
And then dried vegetables, potatoes and carrots. And then we have a extruded soy protein, which is just a fancy way of saying soy. And then the basis is rice. It's white rice. And what we have found is that that is acceptable in all cultures around the world. We like to call it the universal grain.
So when people get this pack, what do they do with it then?
So imagine then that the food goes in the bags and we put the packs onto boats and we send them to our partners. The partners get the food for free. They do have to pay for shipping or figure out how to get it shipped to them. Then they use those in various programs. I had the great honor of going to Haiti in 2017, and what I saw were organizations like a soccer club that teaches soccer every day after school to kids in Haiti, and they use that food to feed the kids before they go out to play soccer.
Do they stir it with water, or how do they consume it?
It's boiled water, and which also helps to clean any water source that they might be using, and then they just spoon it out onto plates, and the kids and any adults that are working with them also eat it.
Have you tried it?
I have. I eat it all the time, actually.
No kidding. I suppose it's, well, tell me how it is.
It's rice-a-roni. I mean, it's that kind of thing. It used to be called, before we called it manna-pack, which is a biblical reference, we called it rice casserole, which every good Midwesterner out there.
I was just going to say, you can tell this organization's from Minnesota.
That's a true story. But it's really, it's quite tasty. And if you put in the different countries, they'll flavor it with their particular flavor profile.
So are you always operating this operation? Because when I did it, I did it as a one-day volunteer with a group of people from my radio station. Do you have a full-time staff? How do you actually accomplish this?
So in every one of our sites, and we have eight of them around the United States, there are three here in the Illinois area. There's three in Minnesota. There's one in Phoenix, Arizona. There's one in Richardson, Texas. Every one of those sites is open for 5 packing sessions, and those sessions are either a 2-hour session or in the evenings on the weekdays, an hour and a half. And we have 4 or 5 and sometimes 6 staff who help to guide the volunteers through the entire process beginning to end.
But it's manual labor intensive. So that's always being done by volunteers?
Always by volunteers.
Wow.
That's one of the most important things is that we don't put the food in the bags. We need you to help us. That
food does not get to India or Russia, or does it go to Tennessee? Does it stay in the United States, some of it as well?
This is a good question as well. We can, and we do, get requests from people in the United States to have our food. What we have found is that in the United States, it's not as culturally acceptable because of what I mentioned earlier. When we think of that, we think of rice-a-roni or we think of mac and cheese. And so though we do get those requests, they have never been re-requested.
Well, I also think people who are food challenged in this country, and it's a crisis, are not as food challenged as they are maybe in other parts of the world.
That is exactly what we think is going on. There are places even now where children are so, so terribly undernourished that they exhibit all the classic signs of the very, very thin bodies, the ribs that are sticking out, the bloated stomachs. And we simply don't see that in the United States.
Which is another problem unto itself, what we do for nutrition in this country. Yep. But this is feed my starving children. So then the food goes across the globe. One of the agencies that actually receives the food and distributes it, I mean, if you will, the payoff then is this scene where the food is delivered.
Yes.
I've seen the videos, and obviously you've been there in person. And one of the people who's involved in that element is going to join us on the phone. Organization that I discovered not that long ago is called Feed My Starving Children. I went to a competitive volunteer pack where we were grouped in teams and we tried to see who could pack the most cases of this packs of food that are delivered to starving children around the world. Feed My Starving Children. It exists because volunteers do it and a paid staff organizes it. The website is its initials, fmsc.org, Feed My Starving Children, fmsc.org. If you, your church, those kids of yours, the school group, the team, the Cub Scouts, the Girl Scouts, whatever the Scouts are these days, if you know somebody who would like to do something volunteer, physical, organized, and feel good about it, and know that it really, really makes a difference, then fmsc.org. I'm presenting with Sarah Presley, particularly now that summer's coming, because people tend to put their organized lives on hold during the summer, I suspect your volunteer numbers drop a little bit in June.
They drop rather dramatically, actually. And we like to say hunger does not understand that there is summer. And kids around the world don't know that we have summers off. And so we need volunteers to come in, especially during the summer months when our numbers drop so low.
Here's Dr. Michael Cherenkov. He is the executive director of something called Mission Eurasia. Hey, doctor, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago with Sarah Presley, too. How are you, sir?
Hello, I'm fine.
We've been talking about Feed My Starving Children. So what's your connection to him then?
He is the field director for one of our partner groups, and I'm sure that he has seen the amazing work that this food is doing for the kids that he's been serving.
So you guys pack it up, and then what happens then?
Doctor, would you like to take that?
Yes. I would say we are good partners with Feed My Starving Children for the last 4 years, as we have been distributing many-pack rice meals in eastern Ukraine. By the way, I grew up in eastern Ukraine. Now it's kind of war zone. Mm-hmm. Probably you have heard about conflict between Russia and Ukraine, and almost 10 million many-pack rice meals have been shipped and distributed to those in need in Ukraine. So just in last year, I mean 2018, we reached about 1.5 million people with our special refugee assistance program. We call it I Care. So I'm not indifferent, I care. And many of these people received many pack rice meals. But let me say that many pack provided to them not just nutrition, but also hope. And because we are mission agency, we care about their souls and about spiritual hunger as well as about physical hunger. So we are good partners. Yeah.
If you would, just quickly tell us what the situation is like there. I mean, maybe I know about the refugee situation in eastern Ukraine, but maybe you could give me a quick sort of update on what the status is, who's there, how many, what's the situation?
Well, as Ukrainian armed conflict enters its fifth year, we have more than 2 million of refugees. And the most important thing I would say, we have 3.5 million people in the eastern part of the country. And according to the United Nations report, they are in need of humanitarian support. So we care about refugees in different areas, different regions of Ukraine, and especially about those people, I mean, trapped in war zone.
Yeah.
So we have totally about 5 million of people in need.
You know what's amazing to me? We're just about out of time, gang, but you say, oh gosh, that's a terrible situation. I can't imagine what I can do about it. Actually, here's what you can do. You can go to Libertyville. You can volunteer to pack. And very quickly, that food that you had your hands in will be on a plate for somebody in eastern Ukraine. Am I right about that?
That is correct.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I would say that a lot of the children who have received rice meals through our special program and partnership with Feed My Starving Children will also be going to some summer camps and church programs this summer to learn even more about Jesus and about his care for people, hungry children.
Dr. Michael Cherenkov, thank you for your time. Keep up the good work and know that we're going to try and get more food your way, okay?
Thank you.
So that's it. John, how long does a pack last if the food's in the bags that you described?
Sure. During the day, how long does the food last?
What's its shelf life?
Sure. It's about 2 years, actually.
John, can individuals sign up for a pack or do I need to be in a group?
Individuals are welcome.
Well, John, we have done Feed My Starving Children for Kids' birthday party a couple of times. Go pack the food, then have a cake when we get home. Not a bad idea. Huh?
Many kids get to do that, and the birthday person gets a free T-shirt.
You need to do this now, especially this summer, fmsc.org, feedmystarvingchildren.org. They're in Libertyville, they're in Schaumburg, they're in Aurora. Libertyville, Schaumburg, and Aurora. Details at fmsc.org. Nice of you to come in.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
You got a fancy hoo-ha coming up too, don't you?
We do. That would be May 4th. We're having our annual gala at the Schaumburg Renaissance Convention Center. And we would love for you all to come and to celebrate with us how many kids we were able to feed.
FMSC.org. Sarah Presley, thanks for coming in.